The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Tonight, if you turn to Numbers 11, we're going to have a mass deliverance from lust and perversion. Now, if you listen to this tape, even now I can see you trying to grab for the pause button. Stop! And listen to this tape. That's that lust demon in you trying to turn it off. Now, find that lust demon. Lord, come. Let that person listen to this tape. Can you hear that? I challenge you, if you got this tape on right now, to listen all the way through, because that lust demon is going to say, you want to do anything but listen to this tape. Because at the back end of this tape, we're going to have some mass deliverance. Now, I know nobody in here has ever had a problem with lust, but I know you all know somebody that does. Can I? But you do have a problem with lying. Now, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to have the prayer. We're not going to have a long teaching. Keep kind of, I should give some revelation, then we're going to have ministry. This lately, this has been more focused on ministry than teaching. But I do want to lay some foundation. Numbers 11, 4. Numbers 11, verse 4. And when it says, this is the children of Israel, shortly after they left Egypt. Now I want you to see very carefully, I'm going to show you some revelation here about lust. Somebody else say, I don't need any revelation about lust, I know enough about it. No, no. But revelation on how to get free from lust and the roots. Numbers 11:4, and the mixed multitude that was among the children of Israel fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who will give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we ate in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing except this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, the color thereof is the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, ground it in mills, beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made manna bread, made cakes of it. And the taste of the manna was the taste of fresh oil. Yuck. I don't know about you, but fresh oil doesn't taste very good to me. Let me tell you something tonight. Lust, there is a definition of lust. By the way, a lot of times we use the word lust, our mind often immediately goes into the sensual. Do you know lust, the scriptural term for lust is applicable to far more than just the sensual or the sexual. The term for lust, the definition is, listen carefully, an inordinate craving and desire for that which is forbidden, immoral, or in excess. An inordinate craving and desire for that which is forbidden, immoral, or that is in excess. To take more, to be immoderate, to be intemperate, to take more than one ought, could be lust. 1 John 2:16, you know, it says, all that's in the world is what? Anybody? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Jesus said about John 8:44, he rebuked the Pharisees, Sadducees. He says, you're of your father, the devil. He said, you are catered to the lusts of your father. Lust is originated in the heart of Satan. John 8:44. In fact, Mark 4:19, Christ gives a parable of the sower of the seed. Remember, and he talked about those to whom the seed fell on the thorny ground, and he talked about the things that inhibited growth. And one of the things he says for the riches of this world, and he says, and the lusts come and choke the word out. And that's exactly true. If one does not conquer lust, lust will conquer one. Galatians 5 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. You must crucify this. This must die if you're ever going to progress in the spiritual realm. Get an amen tonight. Now I want you to see something. In Numbers 11:4, it says, there was a mixed multitude. I was looking to kind of thinking through this, apparently the best I can understand is when they left Egypt, along with the children of Israel, were some other than Israelites. Maybe there had been some intermarriage with some Egyptians. I don't know. There were some strangers among them. And as a result, it says the mixed multitude fell a-lusting. I want you to notice that the lusting started with the mixed multitude. It started with those where there had been compromise, where there had been some kind of cross-mingling and away from the purity of the strain of the Israelites. And I really believe that it's with a mixture in our lives that opens the door to lust. When there's a mixture, when there's compromise. Y'all have ever heard the phrase, it used to be popular years ago, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out, back when computers were in their infancy stage and people were actually doing programming, the average, you know, I remember when I went to college, the first time, the computer they have, they had one computer on the campus, and the computer science majors actually had them then, would have to take these stack of cards and they take it down to the computer lab, they hand it over to this guy across a window. 2 days later they'd come back and find out what the readout was. I'm talking a long time. When I went to college the second time, about 7 years later, they had progressed. They still hadn't, that was about the time that the Apple was being invented in the guy's garage and Bill Gates was plotting how to steal it and all these types of things. Steal the software. These are the early days of the PC. You know, even then, the thinking was if you were going to know anything about computers, you had to learn programming. And I was actually took a undergraduate course in computer programming technology, where we were learning to program through vector trigonometry designs, having no idea that at some point it'd be canned programs you could buy. Well, back in those days, it was a very common phrase, G-O-G-I-G-O, that whatever you put in the basic language, when you put something, programmed it into a computer, you would get out exactly what you put in. You know, and we used to say back then, years ago, and it's true today, that's the same thing with our mind. What you put in is what comes out. What you allow to come in, your eye gate, your ear gate, your heart gate is what comes out. The fantasies, the pictures, the images, the stimuli, when you allow them to come in, they stir up lust. And that's what he talks about, the mixed multitude. When you allow something to come into your eyes, into your heart, into your mind, it can stir up an image. It can, and it will mix in there. You're trying to worship the Lord. You're trying to get in the purity and the holiness of His presence. And all of a sudden, just as you're getting in there, some lewd old image pops up in the middle of your mind. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's because somewhere, at some point, you let that garbage in. And it has a way of coming up at the very moment that you're coming in the presence of the Lord. There it is. Huh? The mixed multitude. Notice it says in verse 6, our soul is dried away. That's really interesting. Our soul is dried away. Did you know lustful cravings are the antithesis of the things of the Spirit? Nothing will dry you up faster than yielding to lust. Now, when I say lust, I don't just mean sin in the sensual area. I mean in every area where there's a yielding to an indulgent, driven compulsion that's forbidden, immoral, or in excess. Where you run to something and you cleave to it and you cling to it and you pull it to yourself and try to drain life or comfort or something out of it, if it can become lustful. Can you imagine that? It's more obvious in the sensual area, but one can be lustful and craving. Here, they were lusting after what? What were they lusting after? Food! They were craving food, where God had met their needs. He gave them this manna. In fact, if you just keep your finger there, look at Exodus 16:31. When they first got the manna, they were all excited about it. They thought it was the best thing. It says in Exodus 16:31, it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. See, when they first got the manna, it was like wafers made with honey. Think graham crackers. Okay? But the real crisp kind with cinnamon on it. I mean, you know, But after a while, look at Numbers 11:8, it began to taste like oil. And they got tired of the sweetness. It just turned stale to them. And the reason is, I think, because they begin to yield to compulsions and lust, and that which is at one point sweet to the mouth became bitter to the palate. And it's the same thing. I've known people that they love to come and sit under the anointed word of God. They love to come and sit under the ministry, the power of the Holy Ghost, past deliverance, sit under the teaching, come to Friday night meetings, couldn't wait. It was their life path. They couldn't stay away. They wanted to be here and be fed with the living bread under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and delivered. But you know, as they began, different ones over the years, began to be distracted and they allow the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the things to get into their heart. They become to be mixed. And suddenly that which was once sweet to the taste becomes bitter to the palate. And they find themselves with a myriad of excuses to not want to come and sit under the word anymore. because something in them is uncomfortable than the pure Word of God taught. Something in them wants a smoother word, something that will stroke them, something that won't poke them, something that'll make them feel nice and not divide. And we get tired of the surgeon's knife. And that's what the Word of God needs to do. It needs to cut us wide open. He said the piercing divide into the soul and spirit of the joints and the marrow. And he says nothing is hid than the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That speaks of split wide open. And there was a time we wanted to be split wide open because we want the light. It feels good in those places where we're wounded and hurt. But you know, when you cling to a lust, when you cling to an infatuation or some kind of a idolatry, when you cling to some kind of worldliness, I tell you, there's a point where you don't want nobody getting near it. And you stay away from anything that's going to expose it, because it's secret and hidden, and that's the beginning of the occult. Because the word occult means hidden. And those that have gotten into the occult sciences, and I submit to you today, a lot of the word faith teaching and a lot of the people that move in that, it's become very occultic in the sense that it's kind of a mental type thing they yield to, some kind of a mental approach they run to, a mental Christianity, claiming and naming and blabbing and grabbing and standing on things that they have no legitimate quickening from the Holy Ghost to, and it can become occultic. It becomes just a bunch of formulas to somehow manipulate God to get what I want. And why do people move in that direction? Why do people drift into those churches with shallow Christianity and no depth? Because usually there's hidden sin. There's something down inside they don't want poked. They don't want no sword to get down there and expose the adultery, expose the rebellion, expose the pornography of the homosexuality. They don't want anybody to get there, expose the masturbation, expose the lewdness. They don't want the sword to get away. I can understand. Oh, they don't want anybody to expose the given over to the idolatry of lusts of food, of lusts of career, money. That's what he says, the lusts of other things. Whatever they cling to, maybe lust relationships. I know people that just, their lust is for not so much sensual, but it's for the relationship. They need somebody to make them feel good about themselves. And they're not willing to let it go. They're not willing to break this sick soul tie. And they don't want to be anywhere where that'll be threatened. So they get tired of what was once sweet, like fresh honey. And it turns yucky like oil. And I've seen them, man. Over the years, but you know, a disciple hangs in there. A disciple, you can't run him off. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan and all of his hordes will be thrown at you. And when it's all done, you're still standing, clinging to the cross. Can you hear amen? I'm after disciples. That's why I preach like this. I'm after disciples. Some of the things I've already said in the last 15 minutes, I don't care what I said in the beginning. People are already finding the button. They're not even listening to me anymore. They got the radio on. They don't want to hear this. Because something in them said, turn that man off. He's nuts. Turn him off. He doesn't know what he's talking about. What is it that's saying that to him? A spirit of whoredom. The Bible talks about a spirit of whoredom. A spirit of lust. Lust is a sin. We can't, God doesn't tempt any man, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? And when he's enticed to lust, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth what? Sin, and sin brings death. Now, every man's enticed when he's drawn of his own lust, but you yield to your own lust towards what? Something that ain't yours is going to come in. Whereas in the beginning, you yield to your own lust, there's a point where you start yielding to a lust that ain't yours. And you're yielding to something, you don't even want to yield to it, and it's pulling you. Come on. 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up from a sound sleep, and suddenly there's this pull from the refrigerator. And this memory comes in your mind of that piece of pie that earlier you were strong and you said, no, I'd already had two. I don't need the third. But it's 3 in the morning and nobody knows. And suddenly that pie has developed a language and it's talking to you across the house. Come to me, baby. And you get up and it's pulling you and you're better. No, no, but it's pulling you. And before you know it, you're sitting there with pie all over your lips an empty plate and a fork, and you go, what did I do? And you didn't even enjoy the thing. Get in the mirror. You don't even remember what it tastes like. You finally go, the pie. Because you were so guilty, you figure, eat real fast, so you have to contend with the guilt. And then you sat there, and you feel really kind of, oh, come on, hello. It's lust, man. Something wakes you up and draws you to itself. It's seductive. It's enticing. It's alluring. It's satanic. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do, Christ. They that are Christ, Galatians 5, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You got to discern and determine right now that lust has to die. There's no way you can worship Jesus and be full of lust. I know. I've tried. And it don't work. And don't look at me that way. So have you. If you walk this way long enough, I've been preaching every week now. So good Lord. 20-something years. Every week. That's a lot of sermons. Just past sermon number 1,000. And there's been times, I can tell you, in the middle of a sermon, something will come in my head or brain that totally has nothing to do with the sermon. But I've learned. What I've learned is the principle of quick repentance and quick letting it go. Good amen. It comes in. I go, whoa. In Jesus' name, forgive me, Lord. Let that go, and I'm forgiven, and I go on in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you that in a minute, the greatest deliverance. You know the greatest deliverance from lust is? You know the really, I'm going to give you a little another thing, but this is one of the best, is to quickly forgive yourself. Amen? That's the greatest deliverance from lust, is to quickly forgive yourself, because you know all that's in the world is lust. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, you're going to stumble and just walk into a minefield. And when it blows up, just quickly forgive yourself and go on. The problem is we dwell on it and we beat ourselves up. Oh, I can't believe. Oh, give me a break. You can't believe. Come on. Of course you can. You're just scum. Own it. Own your scumness. Apart from Jesus, we're his filthy rags. Can I hear that? One of the greatest deliverance from lust is learn how to forgive yourself quickly. Say, Lord, forgive me. I forgive myself in Jesus' name. Satan, get thee behind me in Jesus' name. You can do that in about a second and a half and you're free. Can I hear that? Put it behind you in the name of the Lord. Don't dwell on it. Oh, I fell. And the demons go, yeah, come on down again. Can I hear that? Quick forgiveness. Quick, let it go in Jesus. Adjustment, fall 7 again, and what? How many of y'all like that verse? How many of y'all glad that verse is in the Bible, huh? You know that verse, all my springs are in thee? That's what it means, springs. Right. Well, you know, the more you yield to lust, the less reservoir of power. I want you to hear this. The more you yield to lust, the less reservoir of power. The more you deny, the more inherent power to draw. Every time you yield to lust, I believe every time you're tempted, and I need to give a teaching on this later. I love teaching on this. But temptations are opportunities to regain ground and be anointed. I believe that we can pray and pray and fast and pray and seek God and pray and seek God about some answer for some prayer, and finally God finally gives it to you, gives you the opportunity to have it, but it's in the midst of a temptation. Because it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In James 1. In other words, it's in the moment of temptation that a window opens in the spiritual realm, and it's, you can reach in that window and grasp a hold of everything you've been praying for. The problem is, in the moment of temptation, we immediately go, and we yield. The window opens. There's promotion. See? And it's in denying ourselves. And not allowing ourselves to yield to the thing that's trapped us time and time, that a window opens and a fresh breeze from heaven blows all over. Can I hear an amen? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? A fresh breeze from heaven blows in your soul because you finally said no. Well, you've said yes the last 3,000 times. A fresh breeze from heaven. You get promoted. Temptations are opportunities to regain ground and to be anointed. These are things Satan does not want you to know. Lusts and cravings take the luster out of life. No pun intended. Lusts take the luster out of life. They narrow the ability to enjoy genuine pleasures. It's interesting what was the man's name who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan wrote another book that I love even better than Pilgrim's Progress. It's called Holy War. I think it was written a lady who translated it, called The Great Conflict, but apparently it was The Holy War. And if you can ever get to an allegory, it's a wonderful allegory. I hadn't read it in years. But it's about a city called Mansoul. And the city had five gates. The ear gate, the eye gate, the heart gate. And it was all about the people in Mansoul loved El Shaddai and his son Emmanuel. But this dragon came out the city gates and tried to tempt Mansoul to let it in. Now the only way he could get in, they had to open the doors. The door, the knobs were only on the inside. And finally the dragon tricked him. His name was Diabolos, which is Greek for the devil. And Diabolos came in, and Mansoul lost the relationship with El Shaddai and his son Emmanuel. And so the book takes us from there with Diabolos ruling from the prince's castle. Then Emmanuel sends some of his armies across the field with their flags waving, and they begin to lob these, you know, those stones, gold stones, and on every stone it read, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And finally they made a breach, and the bottom line is, finally, Emmanuel takes Mansoul for El Shaddai and pulls Diabolos from the city and makes a public spectacle of him. But you know what I love about the book? Even though they get rid of Diabolos and Emmanuel lives in the temple of the heart of the city and has a relationship with El Shaddai and teaches the people, you know, a lot of the old Diabolonians, the old devils, they're all hidden in the cellars in the back rooms of the whole city. Perfect picture of demonization. But I'll never forget, in that wonderful allegory, the mayor's name was Will Be Will. See, it takes the will. He was the mayor. He made the decisions, the will. And Mr. Understanding, well, they locked him in a room with no windows. Yeah. But you know what? Mr. Lust was the guy who had no ears and no eyes. He was consumed. In other words, he had no sight, no ability to hear. He was so consumed with lust. He had no other... In other words, what I got from that is yielding to lust narrows your sensibilities to enjoy any other pleasures. You know, does it make sense? When you yield to lust, it becomes that's the only thing you get pleasure from. You ever talk to a wino? You know, you go up to a wino under the bridge. Hey, isn't it a beautiful sunset, wino? You don't care about the sunset. Hey, want to play chess? Huh? Hey, listen to the classical music, wino. You don't care about anything. Can I imagine? I mean, his lust has narrowed his sphere of pleasure. You know, eventually, it'll reduce you to total self-centeredness. Australia. As C.S. Lewis said in the book, The Wonderful Allegory, Great Divorce, talked about a woman who was such a nag, such a bitter nag, then in the end there was no woman left. All that was left was a nag. She was a rumbling nag, and the woman was just a little just broken thing down inside. See, Satan wants us to divide our flow. There is within each of us a strength, a power that God wants to channel for the kingdom of God. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And Satan, if he can't squelch it, at least he can divide it. The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Jesus said if your heart be single, it'll be full of light. But if it's double, if it's not single, if it's divided, then how great is the darkness? Satan wants to, a mixed multitude wants to divide you. The little foxes, I think Solomon said what? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, Solomon said. And so shall your poverty be as a man that travels and your want as an armed man. Satan just wants to get in there just a little bit. Just give me a little, you know, 1%. He's not after the whole darkness. He'll just take Twilight Zone if he can. Just a little mixture. Just 1% is mine. I'll never forget what Moses said to Pharaoh, though. Because as he bargained with Pharaoh and more, and Pharaoh said, well, okay, you can go, but lead the women. You can go, but this. But finally, Moses said, no, Pharaoh, not one hoof of a beast will remain in Egypt, but all goes to worship Jehovah. Can you amen? That's why my email is maxitforj@swbell.net. Max it for Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. Max it for Jesus. Do you have Maxes here tonight? I heard one, yeah. Okay, Chris. Let's go and do the deliverance now. You know, God was merciful. You'll look at verse 31 in Numbers 11. And there went a wind from the Lord, and he brought quails. Okay. God said, okay. You want meat? You want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat. I will give you meat. Meat? Where are we going to get meat? Out in the middle of the desert. All they got is bread. Where are you going to get meat? Well, God just saw this, I guess, 14 trillion quails flying out by the Red Sea. Had some angels, both of them went. Those quails, billions of quails right over, and all of a sudden they all died! Boom! Fell. And so they were up to, you know, they were up to their halfway of their body of quail, dead quail. Everywhere they walked, this knee-deep, thigh-deep, hip-deep of quail. Meat. And it says in verse 13, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, while they chewed it, the wrath of the Lord was kindled. In fact, there's actually one of the Psalms says, while it was in their teeth, they were still. No, I'm talking about the Psalms in Psalm 106:14. They lusted exceedingly in the desert and tempted God in the wilderness, and he gave them requests, but he sent leanness to their souls. He said, I'll give you what you want, but you're going to suffer for it. Now look at 2 Samuel 11. A few more places. I'm going to pray. 2 Samuel 11. One night, David wasn't where he ought or should have been. Okay? King David did not go where he should have been. 2 Samuel 11. God said, go to the meeting. Go get deliverance. Go sit under the word. David said, not tonight. I'm tired. There's a good movie on the tube. You know what? I long for those who dark, every time the door of the church opens, are there. They can't get enough of God's word. They can't get enough of the fellowship of the saints. They've learned to avoid the distractions. But look what David had, 2 Samuel 11. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go to battle. It's interesting they would say that. At the time when kings go to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David what? Hung out in Jerusalem. Whoa. I thought this was the time when kings went to battle. David hung out in Jerusalem. So it came to pass in the evening, David arose from his bed, when he's been laying in bed. Underline that, some of y'all. Rose from his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman's very beautiful to look at. Now I'm going to tell you something about this. I've done a lot of research. He knew who Bathsheba was. Look, Bathsheba's husband was Uriah, one of his mighty men. You see that later. Did you know his counselor, Ahithophel, was her granddaddy? I have some interesting stuff when you really dig this out. He knew who she was! It makes it look like, oh, who's that? Come on. He knew where she lived. He was laying in bed. Something said, this is about the time Sheba has a bath. Huh? What's her name? So he gets up. Now he was where he shouldn't ought have been. Can you hear amen? Now why? I don't know. Preoccupied, distracted. The point was, I want you to hear this real careful. Now here's the revelation. Because he avoided the battle, he was vulnerable to temptation. He didn't go to war. He avoided the battle. He hung back in bed. Didn't want to rise up and fight. Stand up and fight. He laid back. He avoided the battle. He's vulnerable to temptation. Same truth to us. When you avoid the spiritual necessity, listen, when you avoid the spiritual necessity to stay watchful, stay discerning, and fight by principle, you remain open to all kinds of lusts and cravings and desires. You know what I mean? It's getting quiet in here. You who's listening to this tape, are you still listening? Praise God, I commend you. Praise the Lord. Don't turn it off yet. About it, Master Limits. You've got to have those disciplines. You got to fight by principle if you're going to win this war. Satan is a cunning beast. You know, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get advantage of us. That's what we're talking. We're dealing with a being that has been around from the beginning. And none of us can match him for shrewdness, for cunningness, and beguilement. Nobody! Our only hope is to stay weak and meek and lowly and stay around Jesus and stay real close to Jesus and get the Spirit of Jesus all over us. That's the way we can match him. The only thing freaks the devil out is Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus. That's it. The name of Jesus, the anointing of Jesus, that freaks the devil out. So as we drift away from him. So chapter 11 and chapter 12 was all about the sin. He was confronted with it. He repented, but there was consequences. Pretty serious consequences. Even after repentance. The baby died as a result of the affair. But look at chapter 13. I want you to see that lust can pass down the family line. Chapter 13, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. That was his stepsister, different mother. Now, King James reads, Amnon loved Tamar. I don't know if you have versions, your versions read, but it wasn't love at all. Does anybody's version say lust? This is 2 Samuel 13:1. Are you out there? I can hear you breathing. Does any version say lust? It says loved her. He didn't love her. We'll see that in a minute. He lusted after and Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He plotted and schemed and finally seduced her with the help of a friend. And in the end, look what he did, verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. Was that love? It was lust. He used her. See, we can see that lust is passed down generationally. The thing was in David was in his boy. In fact, Absalom had his own lust. Absalom lusted with his anger, lusted for power, held the bitterness inside, and ultimately brought an insurrection. It's important to understand that lust can be a generational curse. Lust can come down the family line. It may be that a lot of the craving, compulsive lust in your life is exactly because it was in your daddy, or your granddaddy, or your mama, and your grandmother, and up the family line. It may be that there was a spirit passed down. Now my daddy told me once, I'll get a little vulnerable here, it was probably 65, 66, I was 12 or 13. And my dad came to me and he said, now man, I was Mr. Naive. We're talking, I was telling some people earlier, I didn't even know the facts of life when I was 12. I didn't. I was brought up sheltered. I mean, seriously sheltered. In fact, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Really. I thank the Lord for it. But, my dad came to me as I was 13 or 14 and said, you know, are you playing with yourself? Are you masturbating? He just came up and asked me. I remember thinking in my brain, what's that? I didn't even know what it was. And then he said to me, well, I can understand, you know, I was in the Navy, raised his eyebrows like that and walked out of the room. And I asked my mother later, well, kind of find out my dad, just like every other man that was in World War II, you know, that was stationed in Guam and, and away, he wasn't married, he was a single guy, didn't know God from a hole in the ground. I mean, you know, a whole generation of men got messed up with stuff. Are you hearing me? They got away from home and heart. They were out in the Navy where they would have, what do they call it? We just saw when we were down in Cozumel, they would have the big Navy ship. Remember they release him down for the day? What do they call that? Liberty. We saw them having Liberty down there. And Cherry said, what are they doing here? I said, of course they're going to have Liberty in Cozumel. And they, when in Liberty, they go down there and they just do all kind of stuff. Well, you know, for years in the Navy during the war, men were exposed to all kinds of stuff. And I believe that a lot of the free sex perversion that manifested in the 60s was a result of the curses of the World War II daddies they opened themselves up to in the Far East and in Europe. Are you hearing me? That they opened themselves up to lustful behavior that they made. We're talking farm boys from Idaho here. You know, we're talking innocent kids that had grown up during the Depression, and all of a sudden they're thrust out into the wide world and all kinds of illusions and seductions and war in countries that worship heathen gods, and they open themselves to all kinds of spirits and brought it back in the country, and the next generation, what? Free loved up. And perversion came into our country in the 60s and has never left. We just suffered 8 years of the first 60s president. Look at the fruit of it. The coming of age of the hippies was the Clinton administration. Look at the filth of that administration. I want to show you that it passes down the family line. Can any man? But the good news, we can break the curses. What you need to do is confess the sins. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive my daddy. You know, forgive my granddaddy. And I'll ask the Lord to show you, Lord, I forgive. And Lord, you bring to the bar of justice, God, there was sin, there was violation of your holy righteousness, of your holy commandment. And bring it and say, God, have mercy. And Lord, let not the sin pass in my life, and certainly don't let it pass on to my kids. In Jesus' name. Can I, amen? And we take these spirits out of our lives. Proverbs 5, another consequence. Verse 20. He says, why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquities will take the wicked himself. He'll be held with the cords of his sins. He'll die without instruction in the greatness of his folly. He'll go astray. All those chapters there, culminating chapter 7, is about getting involved in adulterous and lustful behavior. Man, there's a lot in there. You read these early chapters. But you know, this is one of the clearest pictures, verse 22, of demonization. His iniquities will take... In fact, the Hebrew is to be caught or snared and to be held with the cords of his sin. That speaks of one in the lustful cravings and bondage and slavery to lust, held with cords of sin. This is a clear Bible picture. It starts with a toehold, grows to a foothold, and eventually a stronghold. You know how you know it's a stronghold? Let me tell you how you know something's a stronghold. Whether it's a lust of in the sensual area, whether it's a lust in the in excess in the food area, it's a lust of not letting a relationship. You know how you know it's a stronghold? It's real simple. You feel hopeless. You feel it's hopeless. You give up. You're convinced there's no way out. That's it. You finally add to, you give up. That's what Satan wins. Hopelessness. It starts out as a little thing, but it grows to dominate and crush, as he says, the lust of other things, choke out the word. Romans 13, this is why Paul warns this, and this place and one more will be done. Romans 13, this is interesting, verse 11. Romans 13, 11, that knowing the time, this is really interesting, this is what David needs to have read. Knowing the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. A lot of people are asleep in this area. They've abdicated. They've lost their moral conscience. Or Paul says their conscience has been seared. It's astonishing to people as we knock on the doors and we talk to the people. You know how you know somebody, and I don't mean to be in every case. That's not true in every case, but in a lot of cases. When somebody you confront and you're sharing with the gospel and they get all religious, oh, we go to this church. I've been born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's this wall, this religiosity, this superficiality. 9 times out of 10, it's because there's perversion. 9 times out of 10, he's in there, and I don't mean to be rude, but he's assaulting or molesting his children, or he's a homosexual behavior. It's perversion, and they get religious. But it's behind. The religion hides the real perversion. You test the waters. When you see somebody real religious, let me tell you something you can do. This is fun. Have fun with demons. Because you're the boss and they're the slave. You have the authority. You have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Listen. Have fun with this. Might as well. They want to torment you. You have fun defeating them. when somebody gets real glassy-eyed and religious and, you know, in your mind, don't say it publicly or you'll get something thrown at you, but in your mind, say, I bind you, you perverted demon. Or, I command you to manifest. I bind you, take authority over that perversion. Not long ago, we were knocking on a door, and there was this fellow, and he came to the door, and I started talking to him, and he seemed real open, until I started talking about, you know, the commandments of God. And I hit on, have you ever lied? And then I said, have you ever lusted after a woman? You know, have you ever committed adultery? Have you ever lusted after a woman? Jesus said, if you just lust after a woman, that's tantamount to committing adultery. Have you ever done that? Of course, you know, he was, sure. Like, hello? Do I breathe? I mean, I'm in America, you know. Of course, so I, at least, but then I said, well, but then almost immediately afterwards, he started to get religious. It reminded me of the woman at the well. You remember when he came to the woman at the well? And she was wide open to him. As soon as he nailed her, she said, well, our father said we should worship on this mountain, but she got religious. Because he nailed her. He said, well, the man you're living with now is not your husband. She asked him a religious question. She coveted it. And discernment sees through what's really going on. Can I amen? Jesus wants us to be who we are, bona fide from the roots up. Be who you are. And free. First thing, in conclusion here, by the way, the last thing, verse 4 says, make no provision for the flesh. You know what that means? Get rid of the stuff that stimulates. Get rid of the stuff that stimulates it. Now, last place, Galatians 5. This is how to get free. I got a revelation of this about 10 years ago. I finally saw this verse right. I've always seen it backwards. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, there are three things you need to get free. Are you ready? The first is acknowledge you have a problem. You know, that's tough right there. You got to get out from behind that religious. You got to acknowledge you have a problem. If you don't acknowledge you have a problem, you'll never get free. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. So, you may need to share. You may need to share your struggle in an intimate environment. One of the reasons we have koinonia groups divided by, we have ladies groups and men's groups, is so that one can share their struggles in an understanding environment. Women can share that maybe they're having a struggle, you know, with overeating or obsessiveness with this and that. A guy can share with a bunch of guys his struggles. Can that amen? The Bible says, confess your faults to one another, pray one for another. So sometimes it's good to bring these things to the light. If it's just kind of, if it's eating your cookies and you can't do it yourself, bring it to the light. Can that amen? Get someone else to pray for you. Be accountable to someone else. That's the first thing. Acknowledge it. The second thing is, do warfare against it. And that means you probably need deliverance. Ongoing self-deliverance. You gotta get the demon out. Gotta get the demon out. Do warfare against it. Deliverance. And you know how you know you're delivered? You wanna know? You're no longer hopeless. Are you hearing me? You know how you know you need deliverance? You feel hopeless. You feel like, I'm just stuck. I'll never get free. You need deliverance, man. You're going to try to dig yourself out of that hole with a shovel. It's not going to work. But you get some prayer, and it's like jumping your battery. You know, get some life, get some hope. Get some... We were just praying for one of the young ladies here tonight for her physical healing. And while we're praying, the Lord just quickened me. She needs deliverance. I said, come in, get some prayer, get some deliverance. Because I know in a deliverance session, even though it's for healing, the Holy Ghost will come with gifts. And we'll see stuff. And give her the tools to work your way out of that disease. Can I hear amen? I really believe when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I believe that. I'm convinced. And when you lay hands and they don't recover, there's a reason why. I'm not going to walk around naming and claiming and standing and all that unless I hear a specific word. No, I just back up and say, okay, why? Why are they not recovering? Let's ask the Holy Ghost to show us why. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there's a curse. Maybe there's a demon. You know, let's deal with it. Dear good name, we lay hands sick and they shall recover. I really believe it. We lay hands sick, they need to recover. We need to really believe that word. I've always wondered what that is. Lay hands sick, they shall recover. You go, whoa, what's missing here? I don't see that. Because we don't see the whole picture. You need, if it don't recover, why? And deal with it. And the third thing, you know the third thing? How to get free? Walk in the Spirit and you should not fulfill the lust flesh. This is the key. This is the secret. For years I looked at this verse the other way. I think most of my Christian life, I used to think if I just not fulfill the lust in the flesh, I will walk in the Spirit. And most of my Christian life, I say two-thirds of it, I tried not to sin so I'd be pleasing to God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to walk in the flesh, and thereby I'll walk in the Spirit. And I failed miserably for years and years and years. Anybody else? And then the Lord quickened it me one day. I don't know how, when, now. Hello? I put the A part first for a reason. Walk in the Spirit! And the result is you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you can hear me. In other words, take your focus off of the stupid thing. Quit focusing on your failure. Quit focusing on your sin. Quit focusing on your lust. No, focus on Jesus. Focus on the blood. Like I said earlier, forgive yourself quickly. Amen? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to instantly forgive us. You know, when you don't focus on it, it'll die out. You ever notice if you sit there and stare at your emotions, you just get bigger and bigger and bigger. When you forget about it, turn around, it's not a big deal anymore. Can I imagine? It's the same deal. Just quit focusing on it. Just say, Lord, and one of my favorite prayers to Jesus. I've done this. I say, Lord, Chris is your problem, not mine. Lord, Chris is getting out of hand. You said I'm bothered with the price. Here, would you take care of him? I don't know how to deal with him. That's on my own devices. Would you take care of him, Jesus? I release you to do so. I just want to learn how to worship you. Do you know there's such something so freeing about that? When you let Jesus deal with you, and you back off. Can I, amen? And you always say, Jesus, I got a real problem here. I feel hopeless. I've been trapped. It's obviously demonic. Here, I am your problem. You take care of it. See, I'm learning about more and more about that with the church, too. I go, Lord, it's your church. It's your sheep. It's your deal. It's your vision. It's your money. It's your deal. Jesus, I mean, do you want this? It's whatever. I think about the other day, Moses went to God, and I was reading this. I still don't get my hand around what he did. You know, God says, Moses, just give me the word, and I'll wipe them all out. I'll just kill them. I'll give you a new nation. Remember that? And Moses went, do it! No. He didn't. He said, Lord, no, wait, Lord. Now, remember, if you do that, the word will get around. You know that you dragged us all here in the wilderness to wipe us out. I mean, they'll say, what kind of a low-life God is that? Drags us, we'll wipe us all out. Come on, God, come on. You know, have mercy. Remember your covenant? Remember, God says, okay, all right, God repented of the evil. Now, look, I don't know about you, but I read verses like that. I have a hard time understanding what that means. You know, it looks like Moses is the one in charge and God's the one, all right. You know, sullen kid. Yeah, but I wanted to wipe him out, but okay. I mean, that's what it looks like in the surface. I'm convinced it isn't. God's God. But God's trying to teach us something there. And one little glimpse I'm getting of it is when I go to him and say, Lord, it's your church. It's your sheep. It's your, and you're like, you know, if this isn't going to work out, Lord, do you want a church like that? I mean, you know, is it, that's fine. It's your church. I'm just reminding you, you know. Are you with me tonight? You hear what I'm saying? It's a relation we have with the Lord of, Lord, it's your deal. It's your life. Man, Chris is yours. He's your problem, not mine. I need you to do it, not me. Help me just learn to worship you. And this is the solution. Just cling to those spiritual disciplines like a life preserver. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Cling to those spiritual disciplines. Get up early. Worship Him. Fast and pray and seek the face of Jesus every day. Cling to this like a life preserver. Cling to Jesus. Turn around and you'll notice, even as I have yet to see in the autumn, in the fall of the year, I have yet to see, actually in the spring, I have yet to see trees that strive. See, trees don't strive. Yeah, it's got all these old dead leaves on it. Ugly leaves are all scrunched up. They're ugly. They were brown. And this tree looks at itself and says, all those brown leaves, and they're all dead. Can't get the leaves off. Can you imagine? Wind blows. Come on, get off of there. Trees don't do that. You know what a tree does? The spring sap begins to rise. When the new life begins to rise up in the tree, drinks the water from the deep reservoir. Do you know the new life rising in the tree pushes off the old? Get it, amen? Those old leaves fall off because something new is behind it. There's a new bud. There's a new flower. There's some life coming up, the branch and the twig, and it pushes the old leaf off. The leaf goes, ah! And the new life says, I got you. See, I got a new leaf. See? So what do? We draw from the, what's that, Isaiah 12, let us draw water from the wells of salvation. Can any man tonight? How many of y'all want deliverance from lust? Do not turn that tape off. We're just getting to the good part. Say this after me, Jesus. I'm a sinner with a capital S. I've been kidding myself, lying to myself, thinking I can do it myself. I need you. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the holy anointing. I need the power of Jesus. Demons aren't afraid of me. They're afraid of you. I need your anointing. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke. So Jesus, I confess my sin to you. Of lust. Of impurities. Unholinesses. Cravings. Inordinate desires. Oh Jesus, inordinate passions. Idolatries. Running to things I ought not. Yielding to excesses. Clinging to that which gives no life. Ending up frustrated. Discouraged and bored. But I thank you, Jesus, that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And Jesus, you crucified lust. Hallelujah. You defeated Satan. You defeated that thing. I don't have to be hopeless. There's hope. I can know the truth and to set it free. Jesus, now I want you to say your name right now. Is your problem not mine? Let's do that again. Jesus, say your name. Is your problem not mine? Come, set me free with your spirit. In the meantime, I'm going to press into Jesus and forget about it as I cast it on your at your feet and let you deal with it. And when the sin pops up, or I fall, as I might, I will quickly forgive myself, ask forgiveness, and put it behind me, and get put it back at your feet. Satan, you're a liar. All your accusations are lies, and I overcome the accusations of the devil with the blood of the Lamb. For it's by his blood that I overcome you, that my conscience is cleansed, that I'm made pure and righteous in the presence of God, and I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, any time, devil, in Jesus' name. Amen? Y'all believe that? Has that ministered life to you tonight? Brought some truth? Okay. Father, I pray right now that truth will set us free. And I'm going to begin to command these spirits. Some of y'all may not have been in a mass deliverance before. What I'm going to do, demons, I don't believe, can possess a Christian. Let me say that first of all. I do not believe a demon can possess a Christian. Praise God. They cannot possess your spirit. Hallelujah. But you can be infested with them. You can have them in different portions of your personality, in your mind, and your body. And so we have to be cleansed of them. This is therefore having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He wasn't talking about soap. He was talking about deliverance in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness. That's what demons are. They're filth. Hallelujah. So as I resist them and I begin to command them to go, you just take a deep breath. You let them go. You just agree with me. Two of you on earth shall agree. It shall be done. You agree. You resist them. You just say go. And as I nail things, I'm going to say certain things. If that's a problem in your life, you don't have to be embarrassed. Say anything. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. You just say go. Say go. In Jesus' name, leave. Go. You just renounce it. You draw the line. Say, I don't want that anymore in my life. You're not going to control me anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you. I bind the power of lust in this room. I bind the spirit of lust, of craving, of inordinate desires, of whoredoms. I bind every demon power, every fantasy power, every spirit of deception and allurement and enticement. I peak your power over these saints tonight in Jesus' name. We have spoken the truth. The truth sets us free. The truth that Jesus Christ killed lust on the cross. It doesn't have this great, just like a book's big, but you pop it and it's all air. It has no power. It was destroyed at the cross. We don't have to be hopeless. Praise God. We can put it at the feet of Jesus. He specializes in deliverance. In fact, the people that hung around Jesus, did you know the people that hung around him were people that struggled with lust? Did you know that? People that hung around Jesus were people that struggled with lust. It was the prideful. You remember the Pharisees? They couldn't hang around him. Believe me, this is not a difficult area for Jesus to deal with. The devil will tell you the other. But it's not. It's not a tough area if you just surrender it to him. Come on, in Jesus' name, all the spirits of lust. I want you to lead the saints tonight. I want you to come up. I want you to loose their mind right now. I want you to loose in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of mind control lust. I see in the spirit right while I'm standing here a band. A band, it's a compressing band. It's a band of hopelessness. Hopeless bondage. Hopeless control. That you're ever going to be controlled. You'll never get free. This thing's been on you forever. Who are you kidding? I picked that band. I picked that power, devil. I command you to loose these things. You spirit of hopelessness. Spirit of despair. In Jesus' name, I'll never overcome this craving. I'll never overcome this addiction. I'll never overcome this indulgence. Take your power. Go. Renounce it in Jesus' name. Come on. Take your power. Go. Let the minds go. Take your authority now. Take a deep breath. Come on. Let it go. Hopelessness. Despair. Discouragement. What's the use? What's the use? Give up trying. It's taken forever. I'll never get free. Keep looking at yourself. Staring at yourself. Always feeling like you'll never overcome. Come on. Take the power of the Spirit. Go. Come on. Renounce it. Resist, folks. Resist. The Bible says resist. Resist the devil and he'll flee. He'll flee in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Hopelessness. Despair. Father, I ask you to send angels right now with keys and unlock the lock right now. Unlock the lock around the brain. That pressure. That lying spirit around the brain. In Jesus. Come on. Take a deep breath. Loose the saints. Loose them. Loose their minds. Loose their minds tonight in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come on. Take the power of that. Hopelessness. Despair. Discouragement. What's the use? Come on, come on. Also, depravity of the mind. Depraved thoughts. Come out in Jesus' name. Depravity of the mind. Dirty stories. Filthy stories. Dirty jokes. Come on. Depraved desires. Go in Jesus' name. Depraved pictures in the mind. Pornographic pictures in the mind. Go in Jesus' name. Every perverted picture. Come on, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Every image, pornographic image. Go in Jesus' name. Go! Take your power, go! Change it to go! Every image from the past, right now, all you gotta do is say, Jesus, send angels with blood. What I've said is, Lord, send angels with buckets of blood and let them swab the deck. Swab the deck with buckets of blood and just wash my mind clean. The Bible says you can wash your mind with the water of the Word. I pray, Lord, pour the water of the Word right now through the minds and cleanse every memory, every imagination, everything that goes back to early childhood, every incident in the puberty, in before puberty, whatever. Come on, in Jesus' name, every exposure in that innocent time. Come on, I pick the power of those spirits. Go, hand you to go. Take a deep breath. Let them go in Jesus' name. Come on. Degrading passions. Go in Jesus' name. Those women that had been molested, I submit you need a lot of deliverance if that was the case. Any molestation or witnessing a molestation or knowledge of molestation in Jesus' name, all the memories of that go in Jesus' name. Go, go. Any residual memories, go. I paint the power of those spirits, go. Hand you to go in Jesus' name. Young men that were exposed to homosexual behavior when they were young, exposed to it. You know, I feel so bad about this generation, man. We were at this parade, and it was carnival time, and we saw this parade in Cozumel this week when we were on vacation, and it was really a wonderful parade. It was family, and I was amazed. It wasn't lewd, it was family, it was kids dancing, it was a couple little things here and there, but they had this float that could have come right out of Montrose. The village people, and these men stripped, and they did it, not totally, but it was, and I looked at the little kids, and I remember thinking, this is so grievous. These little kids are exposed to this filth from America out here that was, and I'm telling you, it's just, the kids today are exposed to things that in my generation, we didn't have an inkling about. Kids now, this MTV thing, that thing is straight from the pits of hell. The kind of spirit of indulgence and perversity, and satanic, a whole generation that's given themselves to this perversity. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that right now you'd go and cleanse the children's minds. Cleanse the minds of all of us when we were children, Lord, of the things we clung to. Lord, I ask you to send an angel going there and just and gather up all those old memories, Lord, that kind of jump up once in a while and rob our peace. I pick the power of the kingdom spirits to go. Come on, take a deep breath. Go! Angel to go! Come on! Come on, go, devil! Angel to go! I'll cleanse you out! Angel to leave now in Jesus' name. Go! Go! You know, you'll get delivered to the degree that you agree. To the degree that you agree and say yes, and I don't want that, and no, go. To that degree, you'll get deliverance. Because the devil is listening to your human will. Get patient with sex. Oh, my sisters, fantasies, lustful fantasies, fantasy lust. Eyes that cannot cease from lust in Jesus' name. The Bible talks in 2 Peter about eyes that cannot cease from adultery. Oh, my God, uncontrollable desires and actions. Undressing people with your eyes. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit behind the eyes in the name of the Lord. Come on. Come on. I take your power. Every spirit behind the eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit around the heart in the name of the Lord. Every spirit around the mind and the thoughts and the imaginations. I take your power. Go. Take a deep breath. Come on. Let it go. Whether you struggle with it or not, take a deep breath. That way nobody will be embarrassed. Oh, look what they must do. Gluttony. Gluttony. Run into food. Run into cigarettes. Run into movies. Run into entertainment. Run into novels. Run into something to hide. Running and hiding. Trying to find fulfillment and pleasure in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, renounce it in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says temperance in all things. Jesus. Come on. Take the power of these spirits in this room tonight, in Jesus' name. Oh, see, kind of a sexual deviation, sexual impurity, sexual perversions, perverted thoughts, perverted acts, perverted fantasies, fantasy perversions, indulging in dark perversions, indulging in forbidden things, yielding to forbidden thoughts, allowing your forbidden thoughts to invade the mind. Come on, go. Tell them, go, devil, go. I don't want that filth. Go. I command that filth to go. Go. I command you to go. All that filth. It's filth, man. Yeah, the Bible talks about a man's... deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. That's what it is. You gotta listen to that stuff. It's sweet, but it turns into gravel. It turns into dirt and filth in your mind. Go. Just tell it to go. You'd be amazed at the authority you have. You would be amazed. If you get still and you just say, I want all this stuff to go, and you close your eyes, you get still, you can actually see in the spirit while there's stuff leaving. I've actually seen in the spirit this stuff leaving, just going, I can't even tell what it was anymore. And it's about doing spiritual warfare and self-deliverance. We have that kind of authority. The demons, they just wait for somebody to tell them to go. And you have that authority. You do. You have authority to drive every that thing, to driven this thing that's down inside your breast or your gut, your stomach or whatever that pulls you. You have authority to sit there and say, you go in Jesus' name. I hate you. I divide myself from you. I hate you. You're not me. Go. Pray. You begin to, that thing will begin to manifest whatever hold it's got on you. Begin to loose you. Can I hear a man? Most of us don't do that. We've got it deceived. We don't do straight spiritual warfare. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he flees. Come on. Right out of the breast. Right out of the sternum. Right out of the stomach. Right out of the digestive system. I beat that demon. I command that sucker fish. Come on. I command you to come out, Jesus, like an octopus sucking, trying to pull to itself. I beat that demon. I command you to go, Jesus. Loose these saints. Come on. You suckerfish, right out of the heart, the center of the body. I command you to go. Take a deep breath. Come on, take a deep breath. Let it go in Jesus' name. Come on. Oh, satala mosultana. Spirit of seduction. Seduction. Sensuality. Enticement. Seduction of the eyes. That's particularly with women. Seduction of the eyes. Or men. Seduction. Women, the way they dress. Promiscuity. Using their different ways to try to allure and entice. You know, it's usually based on nothing but insecurity and rejection. Trying to get somebody to look at you so you feel better about yourself. Oh, evil desires. Come on. Demonic sex. Reading demonic sex. Reading about demonic sex. You know, the stuff on the web now, it's unbelievably filthy. I mean, there is nothing unrestrained in the human mind that cannot be found on the web now. Nothing. It's all out there. And, you got to be... Your parents, don't ever let your kids have unrestrained use of that web. Can you hear an amen? And one thing that's helped me about it is there's no way you can worship Jesus and look at that junk. There's no way. And I'm glad for that. Amen? Because it's real clear. I mean, either worship Jesus or you look at that junk. And I happen to like to worship Jesus, so I stay away from that junk. Praise God. And Jesus saying, come on, say this. In the name of the Lord, I renounce every filthy thing that I've been exposed to. Demons, leave. My mind, my imaginations, my thought life. Now! Go! I command you to go! Beat your power, devil! Beat you! Command you to go! Father, I ask you for light from heaven. Father, King of the Lord, you passive spirit, I beat your power out of this church. Command you to go. Take a deep breath in Jesus' name. Adulterous fantasies, adulterous. All of us are bestiality fantasies. Come on, child molestation, defilements, degrading, demonic sex. All of us are abnormal, abnormalities in this area, evil actions, exhibitionisms, fantasies along these lines. Go, go, come on, I'm just nailing them. Name it, if that's you, go. Feeling that love is sex, filthy-mindedness, flirtatious, fornication, frigidity. All of us are to the homosexuality, perversion, here it is, homosexuality and lesbianism. Anything that's said to you, you are this and those feelings and that's who you really are, and that's a lie from the pits of hell in our culture. You need to say that's a snake. That's not God. I renounce that. And some of you have been probably tempted to that, or you've been lied to. You've had flirting glances at the same sex and you've wondered. You just need to say this after me, and I want everybody to say it. Whether you ever had a problem or not, everybody say it. In the name of Jesus, I am a... Now say either man or woman, whatever you are. Okay, good. And I will remain a, say man or woman, wherever you are. And devil, you're a liar. And homosexuality and perversion is a lie. Take your power of those thoughts in Jesus' name. Now go, devil. Command you. I hope you didn't get it mixed up. He said, go, take a deep breath. Take the power. Go. Hand you to go. Some people don't know out there in the world. They don't know. All I'm asking, Lord, Lord, he got almost at the impurity. I come against incubus and succubus. These are demons that actually come in the night. They are. They're real demons, and people have yielded to them. Like, you know, out of loneliness, and you literally, it's like you call and the devil will come and you kind of be stimulated and excited and enticing. These types of things, it happens in your dreams, and you know, this could be a spirit. And in the name of the Lord, I come against that demon. Whatever it is, whether it's for to a woman or a man, in Jesus' name, I break you. You spirit of seduction in the night, seductive nightmares, seductive dreams, enticing dreams. By the way, a lot of times your dreams reveal what's going on in your waking life. I don't know if you know that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that dreams come through the multitude of busyness. Whatever's going on in your brain is a lot of time what the dream is. And if you're having a lot of lewd dreams, it's probably because you're allowing a lot of lewd thoughts to come in the brain. God's trying to show you. You want clean thought? You want peaceful dreams? Quit letting that stuff get pumped in during the day. Can you know what I mean? And in the name of the Lord, I break the spirit of that. I break those incubus, succubus spirits. I pick those demons. Pick the power of those spirits in Jesus' name. Any psychic powers around these people. Father, I ask you to send angels. Right now, in Jesus' name, expose these devils, Lord. Cause the saints to be restless, Lord, and that lose their peace if these devils got a hold of them to the point where they'll just be desperate and renounce these devils for what they are in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Come on. When you study anything about the occult, or particularly we've seen this when you go into different cultures and the people that are really into heathenism and paganism and satanic worship, it invariably centers around sex. The very heart of the second largest temple in Madurai in India, the second largest temple in the whole nation of India, they've been there, unbelievable, and the holy of holies, the inner sanctum of it is a phallic symbol. It's just a filth. I told Sherry about the sun god of, this is so classic, the sun god of Mexico. We were down there. You know that Mexican round sun god? Did you know what that god is doing? It's sticking its tongue out. If you look real careful, the god is sticking its tongue out. And I said, look at this. This nation worships a god that, look at it, Satan saying, ah! It's a big joke. I said, how stupid they would worship a god. It's like Satan's so pompous. He says, I'll show you. I'll stick my tongue out at you and you'll still worship me. And it's all centered around the sexual and the perversion. Anyway, we see that. Look, those same demons are here in the United States. They're just cloaked. They're sophisticated demons. They have a three-piece suit. You know? They have a cell phone. They walk around, you know, they're man, woman about town. They're demons. And the rawness of the third world, you see it for what they are. But there's just as much here. Y'all believe that? Isn't it amazing the masses of multitudes of people that come to hear this kind of teaching? Can't keep him away.
Lord.
I want to put this series on the web for something. Ah, Lamasinta and Sodomy. Go. In Jesus' name. What that amount of shame. Come on, shame. Shame. Take a deep breath. I beat the power of shame. Hey, the good news is Jesus Christ, the Bible said, despises shame. Hallelujah. He was made an open shame. He took the shame. That's why it says in Isaiah 54, he says, my people shall no longer be ashamed. Hallelujah. Shame is broken. We're free from shame. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood of Jesus washes you clean. I take authority over the shame and the accusation, the condemnation, the guilt, the you're this and you're that. And the way to do it is, Bible says, agree with your adversaries. When the devil says, you slime ball, you low life, you filthy body, you know what you go and say, well, sure. Of course. What are you telling me that isn't true? I have an old nature that's demonic. And they say, you forget one little detail, devil. The blood. The blood. Because of the blood, I am washed clean. Get thee behind me in Jesus' name. Do you understand? That's all there is to it. He says, you go, true. But the blood. And you can resist the devil under the power of the blood, and they will flee screaming. How many of y'all have never been in a deliverance session? Never been in a deliverance session? No, where you prayed for somebody, I mean. Where you've never prayed for somebody for deliverance. Come on. How many of y'all have never been in a deliverance session where a demon manifested and talked? You've never been in one of those. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. You've never been in a session where a demon manifested and talked. Don't be shy. It's really good to be in those. It's very healthy. Where you see these things come up. I mean, it'll straighten your theology out real fast. And this demon comes up in the eyes, and what's so fun is when it comes up and it's manifesting, and you look at it, and it's amazing. People go, "Well, yeah." I've had people literally. I had back there a preacher who swore to me Christians couldn't have demons. Swore it and said, "I don't know." Do you know? I'll tell you this story. Showed up with a secretary one day. Says she was ready to commit suicide, and he says, "Chris, will you cast demons out of her?" And I did. And well, actually, I spent the first 30 minutes talking to her about cost and doing the preliminary, and finally this one was, she's so loaded with demons, like one of the Mexican jumping beans, you know. And finally I laid hands on her, she threw her on the floor, she's kind of overweight, threw her on the floor, she's swinging, her dress was flying, I think she pulls the thing off, throws it over, and she's, and I looked at the pastor, he's going, yeah, come out, I mean, it's straight as theology right there. And he looked up at me, and I looked at him, he had this wild look in his eyes, and said, this is fun. It was great. That demon was screaming and whining, and I'm telling you, man, but what's so fun is when those things start doing that, and then you sing about the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The thing says, shut up! You know what you do? You go louder. Oh, can you not hear me? The blood of... How many of y'all been in a session like that? It's wonderful. Everything gets real clear. Black and white. There's God and there's demons, and I'm in the middle. Amen? And there's eternity. And they're trying to mess me up and give me, either drag me to hell or keep me from getting a reward. And here's God trying to woo me to eternity. That's why I love deliverance. Makes it all black and white. And then you walk out in the world after one of them sessions. After one of them lively sessions, you know. One of them where the spirit world opens up and angelic beings come down and principalities. I'll tell you, I've been in these sessions, and you go out in the world like, you know, to Eckerd's to get a pack of gum, and you're standing there and you look around, you go, my God, you know, it means suddenly your eyes are open and the world makes sense. Then you understand the world, and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of that. And the love of the Father, he that loves the world is not of all of the Father. And you understand, Jesus said, I am of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. He said, and don't be surprised if the world hates you. Jesus said, for they hated me. And Jesus said, you're a stranger and a pilgrim. You're just passing through this world. This world is filthy. And you're just trying to get through it with your eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who looked pressed through it all, and is now seated at the right hand, and that's what it's all about. We're trying to press through this minefield called the world to get to Jesus for eternity. And Satan uses everything in his book to dilute, to dismember, and to debilitate you. Can you hear amen?
That's why I love deliverance. Makes it all black and white.
Well, whoever was listening to the tape has probably arrived at their location now. But now they're sitting in the car. They can't get out. Good. A few more things here. Let's just catch it off. Masturbation in Jesus' name. You spirit! Look, the behavior of masturbation in and of itself is a sin. But you know, if one gives himself over to it long enough, he ends up, they indulge in it, and it's a perpetual. It's just something they run to. It's you know, if you've done it, if you do it, you quickly forgive yourself, you forget about it, you say, Jesus, deal with it. But you know, if it's a craving, in the name of the Lord, I take authority of that craving. I beat the power of masturbation, I command you to leave. Now, I want everybody in the room to do this. Everybody. You may not have a single problem with this at all. I want you to do it just so nobody be embarrassed. Raise your hands. Up like this. Everybody raise your hand. Come on. Everybody. Raise both your hands. Now, I command every spirit to come out of these hands of masturbation. I command you to go. Now! Devil, go! I command you to go. Stiffness of the limbs. I break your power. I command you to go now. Out of the hands. Go! I command you to go. Out of the arms. Out of the eyes. Out of the sexual organs. I break your power. Go! I command you to go. Now, take a deep breath. Everybody, whether you struggle with it or not, take a deep breath. Go! I command you to go. Now! In Jesus' name. Okay, put your hands down. That way, nobody was embarrassed. And I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I don't care about anybody else. I just want the demons out. Can you amen? Hallelujah. Voyeurism. Voyeurism. Looking, peeking when you ought not. Come on, if that's you. Don't say anything. Don't do just you and your brain. Say, that's me, Jesus. I renounce it. I break the spirit of that. The spirit of voyeurism. I break the spirit out of the minds and hearts in Jesus' name. Break the power of that spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse of premarital sex. Any and everyone here that had sex before marriage. And that involves just looking at one with lust, because as you've already committed adultery. I break the power of premarital sex, particularly though that indulged in it. Father, I ask you to have mercy and break the generation curse of that. Down the family line, off the children, in Jesus' name. The curse of the bastard. I break that in Jesus' name off the children. I break the spirit of that in Jesus' name. The curse of the bastard. I break its power off the children. In the name of the Lord, not the parents. Oh, everybody take a deep breath. Come on. Father, I pray right now for lots and lots of angels to protect us now around our cars. Oh, Lord, around our bodies, Lord, around our marriages, Father, around our children, Lord, around our well-being, Father, around our homes and apartments, Lord Jesus. Protection, Lord.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.